Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Mark. Mark, the 8th chapter, starting in verse 27 through verse 38. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 27 through verse 38. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter. "Out of my sight, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Peter's not unlike us. Peter is, well, let me put it this way. Peter's more like me, maybe, than he is like you. I tend to be sort of a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants type of person. I like to describe Peter as kind of the bull in the china shop. You know, he sees something and off he goes. Because that's Peter. Jesus is teaching the disciples, telling them that he is going to be taken by the religious leaders, that he's going to be crucified, he's going to be killed. He doesn't tell them crucified. He tells them that he's going to be killed and that he's going to rise again. And Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. In other words, Peter, in all of his wisdom, is going to correct Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, in all of your wisdom, have attempted to correct Jesus? I know that when my mom got cancer and I was 17, I tried to straighten God out, to inform him how unfair it was what he was doing, and that this was a wonderful woman, and all kinds of things. We do it. Sometimes you may call it bargaining with God, but we all do it because we have this understanding of life. We have an understanding of how things are supposed to be, and that's where Peter's coming from. Peter's coming from a place in his life where he has what he thinks is the correct understanding of who Jesus is. And this dying stuff and being buried, and even though being raised again, now that's not a non-Hebrew thinking. The Hebrew people did believe that in the end of time we will be raised again. You can find that throughout the teachings of the prophets in the Old Testament. That's not unusual for them. So when Jesus says that he will be resurrected, they say, okay, I can believe that. But wait a minute. We have all kinds of things that we've planned. We've planned how you're going to throw the Romans out and how you're going to make Israel a great country again, and we've planned how, since we're your followers, see, we're going to be up there with you. That's really what they're looking at. Not unlike us when we say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, so I deserve good things, don't I? I deserve for God to bless me. What does it mean for God to bless you? Does that mean that you want God to be active in your life and that God can do whatever he wants for the good of the kingdom of God? No, that's not what we think when we think bless. When we think bless, we think God is going to give me happiness. He's going to give me, for me, a new truck. Mine's starting to show some rust. He's going to give us all the financial needs that we have in our life. He's going to take care of them. God is never going to allow me to have any rough times. That's what we think when we think blessed. But the reality of being blessed is just being in God's purpose. As a United Methodist pastor, I've moved a few times. I've never really liked moving. So in my great wisdom, I've done basically two things in my life. I was in the military and I was a pastor. Both of them, of course, require you to move where somebody else wants you to move. You do get input. In the Navy, we had what was called a dream sheet. And I know why they called it a dream sheet. Not because you were going to get it, because you were dreaming if you thought you were going to get it. But I fooled them. I said, okay, send me to Norfolk, Virginia, the second biggest naval base in the world. They said, sure, no problem. I had a friend who said, send me to a frigate, send me to a ballistic missile submarine, send me to a fast attack submarine anywhere on the West Coast. They sent him to Groton, Connecticut. Last I checked, Groton was not on the West Coast. It is a submarine base, but why is it that we have this feeling that if we're followers of Jesus Christ, that we should get some special treatment? Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And I thought about that question this week. In this day and age, there are very many people out there who don't even know anything about who Jesus is. Now, those of us who are old, or I should say, those of you who are older, I'm still 20 inside my eyes. But we have this thinking. Now, my wife and I, as most of you know, just moved in July. We moved back to the farm she grew up on. And I'm being very nice and not yelling at her. Because every time we drive through the valley, she say, well, so-and-so used to live there, and so-and-so used to live there, and this used to be a farm, yeah, 30 years ago when we lived here. That was all true. But there's change, and things are happening. And when we go out into the world, people don't know who Jesus is. And many people don't even want to hear who Jesus is. But the question to us in our lives should still be, who do we think that Jesus is? Is he the one who's going to give us everything that we want? Because if that's what you're expecting, you're not going to get it. What we need to understand about Jesus is when we become a follower of Jesus, that what we want becomes secondary. Jesus died on a cross, was buried and raised again, not so that we could have everything we want and our lives could be wonderful. He did that so that the world may know that there is a Savior. And how are they going to know if we don't tell people? Does it make you uncomfortable to share your faith with other people? Good. It should make you uncomfortable in a way, because you want to share it in such a way that they come to understand who Jesus is. You want it to be a little difficult because you want it to be good. Every Sunday morning, I've been a pastor now going on 28 years, every Sunday morning, I'm nervous. I've been doing this for so long, I could do it in my sleep. Why do I get nervous? Because I want the message to be God's message. I want it to be right. I want people to understand what God is trying to teach them. I want them to understand that being a Christian is not going to be easy, and spreading the message may not be comfortable, but it's what we're called to do. We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're called to be people who tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. But the only way we can be called to do that and fully capable of doing that is if we understand who Jesus Christ is. He is God's Son. Came to earth, not because he had to, but because we needed him. He came to earth to teach us, to die on a cross, to be buried, to truly die, and to be resurrected so that we have the hope of resurrection also. And then he ascended back into heaven to be with God. And before he went, he told us, "Don't worry, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back to take you to be with me where I am." That's who Jesus is. That's the promises that he's made. Do you truly understand who Jesus Christ is? He's the only one that can fill that hole in your life. That need for forgiveness. That need to be wanted and fully accepted. And know that no matter what you've done in your life, that God still loves you. Now, don't take that the wrong way. Don't think that that means you can do anything you want. Because as I've said before, and if my son was here, he could attest, just because you love somebody doesn't mean they don't need a little straightening out once in a while. Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives to help us to remember who he is, to remember that we are his servants. I can tell you in all the moves that I've made that only once in 6 moves in the church did I want to move. And every single one of them, those moves, have been a blessing. They've been wonderful. I've gotten to meet new people. I've gotten to change lives. I've gotten to see God at work in people. And that's amazing. The first thing you need to understand is who Jesus Christ is. Once you understand that, then all of the rest of it falls into place. What you're doing in your life, what's going on in your life, all of life makes sense when God's involved. It doesn't mean it's all going to go good. It doesn't mean we're going to completely understand everything. But it makes sense because we know God is in charge. So in the midst of sickness and sorrow and hurt and hurricanes, I have been able to minister to literally hundreds and hundreds of people because of hurricanes. I've run two disaster response programs for the conference here in Pennsylvania, and we've touched literally thousands of people's lives just by going out and helping them and by sharing the love of Jesus Christ with our hands. But also, when the opportunity arises to share the love of Jesus Christ in what he's done in our lives. God wants you to understand who Jesus Christ is and what he's done. And then he wants you to do something about it. He wants you to learn. He wants you to go. He wants you to tell others. Because that's what we're called to do. If Jesus Christ is God's Son, if he died on the cross, if he was buried and resurrected again, and you know that for a fact, then your life should show it. And you should desire to serve him because he's given you everything. Amen.